What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 212 of the Massive Breakdown Podcast. We are coming to you on a wonderful Thursday evening. Very excited to be talking to you the first Iron Banner of Season of the Splicer, and the first Iron Banner in a very long time that we have gotten new weapons. And in fact, we've gotten four weapons brought in for Iron Banner. We got a shotgun, a sniper rifle, a hand cannon, and a machine gun. So this week's episode, someone rightly pointed out in the Discord last week that although we wanted to focus on the override guns, it makes way more sense, is way more timely to focus on Iron Banner because it is a limited time event and this is the first time some of these guns have been available. So we're going to be talking about the Iron Banner weapons, but first let's get the introduction out of the way. As always, I'm your host, Mercules, joined tonight by Kit Kutcha. And how are you doing this evening, Kit?
Well, Mercules, I am doing pretty dang well this week. I have been playing a lot of Destiny and I have been enjoying every minute of it. I have to admit that my playtime slipped toward the end of the season, more than I had expected it to, and I definitely spent some time playing some other games that I normally would have spent playing Destiny, but I am really enjoying myself right now. I'm enjoying Override, I'm enjoying Iron Banner, and there are a lot of guns that I am very interested in getting my hands on, which I have to say, I think this is actually the most weapons that I have actively wanted to chase in a few seasons. I think they're getting better.
Yeah, it is pretty impressive. This is the first time in a long time that I've actually really cared about the Umbral Engrams, and I'm like actually. Like, towards the end of last season, I was, like, literally deleting Umbral Engrams. I was like, I can't even be bothered to go to the helm and, like, decrypt these things. Like, I will just delete them out of my postmaster. And now I'm like, nope, I need a grid skipper. I want a chroma rush. Like, I really care about some of these guns.
Yeah. I'm still farming brass attacks, but...
Yeah. They have done a fantastic job with the loot this season. And we haven't even gotten to the raid yet. With the in-game loot, where there's probably going to be some very, very good stuff in there, too. And we'll probably talk about that. When does the raid come out? Is Vault of Glass, is it this Saturday, or is it next Saturday?
These are questions that we should have considered prior to recording the podcast. So I'm going to clickety-clack it real quick.
All right, well, while you look it up, I'll be over here, and I'll just make some stuff up and waste some time. But the long and short of it is, like you, I've been playing a ton of Iron Banner. Iron Banner is absolutely a breath of fresh air compared to normal control. It is amazing what having good guns to chase and good rewards, pinnacle rewards and stuff like that, is amazing what just having that simple. And Iron Banner has a shit reward structure in terms of how you get it. But it does. Is amazing how much better Iron Banner plays just because so many people play it compared to normal Crucible.
And it's definitely helping that there are four new weapons to chase. But quick side note, to answer the Vault of Glass question. So here's the skinny. It is Saturday, May 22nd, with the update going live at the following release times in the UK, 6 p.m., that's British Standard Time. In Europe, 7 p.m., that's CEST, which I assume stands for Central European Standard Time. East Coast, United States, 1 p.m., that's Eastern Daylight Time. West Coast, United States, 10 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time. If you're in the Central Time Zone, figure it out.
You're somewhere around there. Somewhere in between, you know.
I'm kidding. It would be noon. Yeah. It would be noon. So,
Vault of Glass is coming soon. So probably next week then, I guess we might end up having to do the Vault of Glass weapons.
We've got all season to farm the override guns. Right. Although I'm super excited about the override guns. But
the override guns are very good. Like, and the override activity is not bad. The enemy density is good. The fact that six players is good.
Yeah.
The fact that every single run takes less than 12 minutes is fantastic.
So good.
Like, they are so fast. I do not feel like I'm wasting a half hour of my time to go do one. I feel like I can, like, squeeze one in before dinner and stuff like that, and it's really helping.
I've played a few battlegrounds this week because I needed some hammer charges because I'm still trying to get a good roll on that stupid sidearm. I just cannot get a roll I'm happy with. And going from that to Override really makes me appreciate Override.
Yeah.
Not that I didn't enjoy Battlegrounds, but boy, after a while, it's just like, okay, can we just progress to the next section, please?
Yeah. Battlegrounds takes a very long time. You can't make it go any faster, which is what's frustrating.
I am starting to, in Override, I'm starting, though, to get annoyed at people when they don't shoot the little things. Because if it's just me shooting it, sometimes I don't do enough damage fast enough. If I'm just on a primary. And then it turns white again, and I'm like, you sons of... Okay. I don't want
to... You added another 20 seconds to this freaking round.
Yeah, it's just like...
You piece of garbage.
Could you
How
not?
You?
And then, you know, then it's over a few minutes later. So it's all good, but...
Yeah.
And Override's just beautiful. Like, I think that's one thing that it really has over Battlegrounds, is that the Override aesthetic is completely unique and just really, really enjoyable.
Yeah, I do. You know, again, beginning of the season, we'll always see how these things progress. It doesn't look like it's going to be wildly different week to week. It looks like it's pretty much the same thing, different location, same thing that you run through when you're inside the Vex network, just a different boss, basically. So, you know, it is what it is. Obviously, my expectations for these seasonal events are about as low as they could ever possibly be. So it's pretty easy to, like, hurdle right over that really low bar that I set. But
ask me in a month.
Yeah. And regardless, before we get too far into that, we should probably get the housekeeping out of the way.
Definitely.
I know for a fact that we have a new podcast review, but I also believe we have some new Patreon. So do you want to do that one first?
Let's do it. So... patrons are just blowing it out of the water this month. You guys have been so generous to us. So I'm going to lead just by saying I appreciate all of you. We both do. Like, honestly, you guys are amazing. So first off, big shout outs to the Trifecta, ZenzoCal, Shazzle, A Solitary Bird. Remember their names. These are the sponsor guardians. They are going above and beyond even the level of a normal patron who's already going above and beyond to show some love and support to the podcast and the spreadsheet and everything that we do. So thank you so much to you three for your generosity and kindness. We truly appreciate it. We owe you like a beer a month or something at least. And thank you. So like, you know, I guess hopefully you don't find us because it's going to add up. It's a lot of beers, but.
I'd buy them as many beers as they want at this
point.
That's true. It's probably. Yeah. If you guys ever make it out to Jacksonville,
we'll never even
Texas,
score.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll buy you as many beers as you need to hang out for the duration of time. So
for sure. All right. With that said, we also have four new patrons to say thank you to this week. Just this week, you guys are nuts. You're actually like making me keep track week to week of who's new. Really making me work for it. So I appreciate it. First off, big thank you to Must Have Burrito.
That's a good name.
That's a super good name. I'm super jealous.
Had a burrito for lunch today. So good choice of food, too. He could have gone with any food out there and he went with burrito.
I'm pretty sure I have like a burrito or an enchilada or something like that at least once a week. Just like minimum.
Same. Easily.
All right. Drum roll. Big thank you to Riptide. Thank you so much for your pledge as well. All right. Next up in the list. We have, and this Guardian actually has a sweet, like, logo of their name. It looks super cool. I'm actually really jealous. Catnip Smalls. And also a super cool name. Obviously, if you listen, you know that there are many cats involved in the making of this podcast. Occasionally involved in this podcast.
Well, they probably wouldn't know about that. I cut the meows out a vast majority of the time. So they probably don't even know that there are cats. But
the close listeners know. Every now and then, I'm sure one gets through. Okay. Finally, last but not least, big thank you. And I'm going to go with the Discord name here so that if we see this Guardian in the Discord, we can say a special thank you to Renegade. Thank you so much, all four of you. We really appreciate you, as we do all of our ongoing patrons. And that's all the news from the Patrons Corner this week. Nothing going on, no special things. I'm not pulling my hair out. That happens in November. So,
well, we've set the rewards up to go through Patreon now. So yes, that does also take a little bit off our plate.
It helps.
Or your plate specifically.
It helps a lot. Yeah, so thank you so much. Again, if you are interested in doing more than just listening to the podcast, if you want to financially support the podcast, help to keep us forever free of any manner of corporate sponsorship, check out our Patreon. It's linked from Discord. It's linked from our Twitter at DestinyMVP. You can just like message us and we'll send you a link. We're happy to do it. It's by no means something that we expect from our listeners, but it is something that we are forever grateful for.
It has definitely allowed the podcast to remain independent, and that's the most important thing.
Absolutely.
You know, the other group of people that we like to thank are the people who leave us podcast reviews.
Heck yeah.
And we do have a podcast review this week. It is They Upped My Game, 5 stars. Very informative and has made me a better PvP player. Sometimes I disagree, but they are good at what they do. And then he ends up with a question, but what about the droid attack on the Wookiees? And so that was from Hot Yuvin, the Apple Podcast in the United States. Thank you very much for the podcast review, Yuvin. And what about the droid attack on the Wookiees? That is a very good question. And coincidentally, we are also doing a Star Wars. We're doing a Beneath Twin Suns episode tonight after I finish up this one. So we will be on episode 4. We're doing season 3 of the Clone Wars tonight. So if you do want to find out about the droid attack on the Wookiees, then you are welcome to tune into that. It will actually probably end up coming out before this because I don't have to edit it. I can just put it together and then release it, whereas these Massive Breakdown episodes, I put a little bit more work into them. We go for a little bit more of a professional sound.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know that we are talking about the droid attack on the Wookiees this week.
Nope. It won't be. Well, there is an attack on a Wookiee in season 3.
Okay.
But it is the final arc of the season, and it is not an attack on the Wookiees. It is not Kashyyyk. It is, you know, we'll talk about that beneath Twin Suns.
Yeah, at some point, we're gonna have to talk about the Wookiees.
Well, I was actually rewatching 2 episodes of Mandalorian tonight, so we went over to a buddy's house. He just got a new grill. We were celebrating. I was talking to Kutch. I was like, if I sound slow tonight, it's because I had a quarter of an outside skirt steak and a burger tonight and some beer and then some rum. And then we watched 2 episodes of The Mandalorian. So I'm like,
as you do,
dragging ass right now. Like I could just lay down on the couch and pass out and go to sleep. But I won't. I'm going to soldier through it because I want to talk about these Iron Banner guns. And I want to talk about Iron Banner. And then I want to talk about Star Wars after that.
Yeah, you are.
But,
and
yeah.
No
but
excuses.
I'm full. I've got the meat sweats going on right now. So
I did not overeat today, but I did bike more than 10 miles. And then I did an hour long workout that was extremely unpleasant because my wife designed it and she is a badass. And I just like try to keep up.
So you did the opposite of me then. I had a brisket wrap for breakfast.
Oh God.
A burrito for lunch. I had about the densest day of food I could possibly have. But I did go to the gym and I put in a pretty hearty leg workout at the gym. So
there you go.
You know, at least I tried.
Approved.
At least I tried. Tomorrow's I would say that it was gonna be a diet day, but I'm making brisket tomorrow for dinner. So it will not be. It's just been a meat-filled couple days for me.
I'm not going to pretend. Tomorrow, we're celebrating my daughter's birthday. Very excited. I'm going to sleep in a little bit. I'm gonna work, but I'm also probably going to drink beer.
How's your daughter been liking the Bad Batch now that 3 episodes are out? Have you watched all 3 episodes with her yet?
We have, and she is loving the Bad Batch. Girl is all about the clones, man. Yeah. Like, the Jedi are cool, but like I think I've mentioned this before. When we play Star Wars, which is about half the amount of time that she would like to be playing Star Wars.
Yeah.
She is always Rex.
That's a good character to be though.
Used to be she would be a Jedi, but now no, she wants to be Captain Rex.
Does she have a favorite clone out of the Bad Batch?
That's a great question. You know, I'll have to ask her. We've got a new episode tomorrow. She's actually a little annoyed with me because I told her that we're probably not going to watch the new episode tomorrow because she's gonna have friends over, and I was like, you're gonna be playing with your friends.
Make them all watch Bad Batch with her.
It's entirely possible that the night may take that route. We'll see. But we are way off topic.
Shit, if it were my birthday tomorrow, that's what I'd be doing. I'm actually gonna go play golf in the afternoon. Taking an early day off work to go play golf. But you're right, we are entirely off topic. We should be talking about Iron Banner.
All right. We're now 16 minutes in. We've talked about Star Wars and our personal lives. This, folks, this is professional podcasting right here.
Yeah, do you hear how good our sound quality is?
Peak podcasting.
Although they did tell me, I forget who it was in the Discord, says he was like, your podcast is so quiet. And then I had to get educated on loudness units by Mr. Sutton, and then he's got some software that's supposed to allow me to level the sound, and it's just like, come on, guys, we got rid of the shitty echo, we got rid of the background noise, like, now it's too quiet for you guys, come on, what more do you want from us? Like, it took me 20 episodes to realize my mic was backwards. Like, I'm not a professional editor, I'm sorry.
But you did realize it.
I only realized it because someone told me. I would just continue to go on thinking that that's just how it sounded forever.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, point being, let's talk about some guns.
So before we get into that,
I need
to point out, I have discovered a new build. I discovered it entirely by accident. Two consecutive accidents that allow me to discover this. It is so strong, and I'm enjoying it so much, that it has pulled me away from Symmetry. It has pulled me away from Dead Man's Tale. It has pulled me away from Bastion. Entirely away from all three of my previously favorite exotics.
I don't even know what to say.
It is Le Monarch with Oathkeepers on a Hunter, right? But what really makes the pairing is you use the Messenger in the kinetic slot. The reason being, because when you hit someone with an Oathkeeper Le Monarch shot, even a body shot, you end up doing 125 damage. Three body shots from the Messenger is an additional 66 damage. So you can kill someone with a Le Monarch body shot and three body shots from Messenger up to, I think, 4 resilience or 5 resilience, right? Because it'll do 191 damage. So you don't even have to hit a crit out of any of that stuff. If you hit even one crit at all from either Le Monarch or from the Messenger, it's a guaranteed kill, right? It is so disgusting because you can have Le Monarch drawn the entire time. All you have to do is hit the target, right? As soon as you let the arrow fly, it doesn't even matter if you check to see if you hit the target or not. As soon as you let the arrow fly, you swap to the Messenger, and then all you have to do is hit the target again with all three shots. Doesn't matter if they're crits, could be body shots. You just have to hit the target with all three shots. It is almost impossible for any weapon to counter that speed, right? Because the Monarch is instant. Then you switch, then it's just body shots with Messenger. I also have Kill Clip on the Messenger. So once I clean up with the Messenger, I then have Kill Clip. And can then continually chain Kill Clip until Kill Clip runs out. Then I switch back to Le Monarch. I am averaging in Iron Banner a 3.0 KAD, this Iron Banner. I'm averaging a 3.0 using exclusively this build. It is so disgusting. The only thing that counters it is a really good sniper, because they can hit you when you're peeking with Le Monarch. Hand cannons don't stand a chance because I can peek shot better than they can peek shot. Shotguns don't stand a chance because I can jump in the air in close range, body shot with Lamonarch, and then melee. And it instantly kills. Because Lamonarch does over 100 damage with a body shot. Right? So it is, I'm telling you, and it's, I think it's better than any other pairing. Because I know that some people pair it with like a steady hand or something like that. The steady hand relies on getting a crit from one of the two. Right, if you get a body shot with Lamonarch, you have to get a crit with steady hand. If you get a crit, or if you get a body shot with steady hand, you have to get a crit with Lamonarch. With the messenger, you don't have to hit any crits at all, and I think that's really, really super important. So I'm just saying, this is my new build.
You're a bad, bad man.
And the reason why I found it, here's two accidents, right? So I was using the transmog shit, and I was messing around, and I found a super, super clean look using a bunch of the Season of the Opulence stuff, and I didn't have a single pair of arms that looked good with it. Even with my Universal Ornaments, I couldn't find a good pair of arms. The only pair of arms that looked good with it was Oathkeepers. And I was like, well, shit, I gotta rock this look because it's way too clean. I guess I'll put Oathkeepers on. Well, what gun can I use with Oathkeepers? I was like, well, I'll use Lamonarch. Right. So I use Lamonarch and I'm like, but I need something to pair with this in the kinetic slot. And I was like, I hate hand cans. I don't want to use a hand cannon. An SMG is not going to be effective. I was like, well, I've got the messenger. The messenger's pretty good. I like the messenger. Let me use the messenger. Started using it and started doing the blinting, like shot with Lamonarch, swap to the messenger, and was like, oh my God, I'm unstoppable. Like, I'm legitimately unstoppable. As soon as kill clip gets going on the messenger, and you could do it if you had Desperado on the messenger too. Right. But I'm telling you guys, I think this build has a lot of potential.
I have to admit, I'm transferring Lamonarch to my Hunter right now, just so I can try it out. I'm not a huge fan of pulse rifles right now. I don't know why. I think it's just a personal taste thing. But aside from Grid Skipper, I think maybe Grid Skipper is ruining the slower firing ones for me. I have been rocking the Last Word, just like pretty much maining it.
Unless it's dirty, isn't it?
Unless right,
we
I
talked
need
about
something
that last
else.
Week.
Yeah, it's
disgustingly good.
It's so good. So I've been pairing it a lot with Fellwinter's Lie because I'm that guy. But I actually think I feel like I perform better, and I'm gonna have to test this out this weekend. But I feel like I'm actually performing better when I pair it with my Orwings Maul, which has quick draw and proximity grenades.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can just lead with that, instantly swap and clean up. But Orwings is so good too for cleaning up by itself, especially in Iron Banner where everyone is standing together on a point. Yeah. It's just like, oh, you've been shot by almost anything, you're dead. Just thank you.
Yeah.
Super, super good.
And proc stat too means you don't even really have to.
I don't have to aim very hard. Because I'm not even really trying to get the kills, right? It doesn't do enough damage. It's not mountaintop. And so all I'm trying to do is just leave them close enough. And I have to say, I'm really enjoying that. I'm throwing like hand cannon dexterity on my armor. It's pretty dirty. And I feel a little bit bad about it, but like in a good way.
We're using a grenade launcher, so obviously right off the bat, you should probably feel bad about doing
this. This is the guy who, like, 2 weeks ago was like, nobody wants more grenade launchers, and what am I doing?
I'm using a grenade launcher.
Part of the problem. Look, folks, you can't beat them, join them. That's just how I feel about it.
So I know that KAD doesn't matter anything in Iron Banner because skill-based matchmaking is obviously not enabled, right? But at the same point in time, listen, this is just my first page of Redrix, which, by the way, shout out to the Redrix app. If you guys haven't used it, it's, I think, the best way to quickly at a glance check your post-game stats. It is much faster to load than Destiny Tracker is, and it shows your like last 233 games, I think. It's like a real random number of games that it shows. So listen to this. This is my KD. 3.1, 3.4, 2.6, 2.6, 5.2, 13, 2.1, 2.7, 3.7, 2.0. And every one of those games is The Messenger and Le Monarch. And I'm telling you, man. And not only that, but Le Monarch one-shots if you're charged with light.
So, oh, yeah. Yeah, it does. Yeah. I always forget so about like, that.
Yeah.
And I'm always charged with light, so...
Now, I gotta say that I think this only works this well on an Oathkeeper Hunter. I don't think it would work this well on any other class, because Oathkeeper enables you to keep the bow drawn for an infinite amount of time, and in addition to that, it also decreases the draw time by, like, 2 frames or something like that, which, you know, people bitch about it's not that much. Like, it's actually a pretty big deal when you are using the bow in, like, the heat of battle and you're going up against 120s that constantly have damage buffs and can two-tap you, right? Like, it is so hard to counter 120s when you can't peak shot, and using Le Monarch and Messenger means I can peak shot. I can basically play their game. But the other thing is like, even if all you do is just hit them with the Messenger, Le Monarch, because it's perfectly drawn, they now have DOT applied, right? So it prevents them from regenerating health. And a lot of times you can force people to reposition how you want them to just by hitting them with that. And they start to see that damage tick down, and like, they will disengage because they don't want to put themselves in a situation where they're out while they can't recover. It's a really, really fantastic. And I should have known it was pretty good, because I've played hunters in trials before who use the Monarch, and they're fucking impossible to kill. Like, when they get on their game and they get on their angles, they're freaking impossible to kill. So I'm just saying, if you guys want to try it out, let me know how it goes.
I might also just try it, but with like ignition code, because again, yeah. Grenade launchers. But you know, you can throw a quick access sling on that, and you can lead with ignition code if you happen to have it out, and then instantly, or not instantly, but very quickly swap to Le Monarch for the finish.
Yeah, look at this. I had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I had 5 games in a row over 4.0 with 25 or more defeats, and all 5 games in a row. Now, did I win all 5 of those games? No, because it's Iron Banner and lobby balancing is a thing. But that's not the point. So that is, you know, we've now spent 25 minutes. I mostly have spent 25 minutes talking about my new favorite exotic, but
flexing on us a little bit.
You know, if it pulled me away from Bastion and Symmetry and Dead Man's Tale, that I've really got to be like on that shit, because I love all 3 of those exotics an immense amount. And this is like, I transferred Dead Man's Tale out of my character. It's in my vault now. I'm not even holding it anymore. I was like, I don't have room for this anymore. I'm done here. Plus, the PC players are going to get it nerfed anyways. So I was like, I'm not going to get attached to you. I understand you were beautiful once, but the PC players are going to get you destroyed. So I'm not going to get attached.
Time to find the next weapon to get nerfed.
I swear, if Le Monarch gets nerfed because of this bullshit, I will be extremely unhappy. I will be extremely displeased, because then I will know that they just have it out for like any... They're like, what's Merc enjoying this time? Le Monarch? Yeah, I think we can take that down a notch. We can get rid of it.
That's exactly what's happening. They're like, this guy, we invited him to stay and he left us. We are going to make him pay.
We have given him so many hand cannons and shotguns that he could use, but he just insists on using other guns that aren't hand cannons and shotguns. We can't freaking have this.
That's true.
Do we have some weapons to talk about? Is that what we're supposed to be doing?
So, all right, welcome to part 2 of the Massive Breakdowns Iron Banner weapons, in which we actually break down the guns we're here to talk about.
Nobody cares about that stuff. I mean, sure, it's a hand cannon, but nobody needs a hand cannon.
So, I mean, do we want to talk, I guess, about the guns then? Do we want to talk about Finite Impactor?
So, Finite Impactor is a 140...
Name of your sex tape, yes? Oh.
Is it, though? Is it? Is it? That's not even a dad joke. That's like, I don't know, that's worse. Get rid of it. But Finite Impactor, it's an arc hand cannon. It is one of the 140s, which means 70 crits. 47 body shots, 0.87 second time to kill, and Crucible does require 3 crits. The body shot TTK is 1.73, which is abysmal with 5 body shots. However, if we're talking about the accuracy adjusted TTK, which as we know is probably going to be 4 shots, it is actually very, very easy. It is 1 crit and 3 body shots. Granted, it is 1.30 seconds, which is much, much slower than the 2 crit, 1 body, 1.00 seconds of the 120s. So is it competitive with 120s? You know, I've seen some good use put in with Ace of Spades. I've seen some good use put in with Palindrome. Obviously, Finite Impactor is pretty new. I haven't really noticed a ton of it in PvP. I would assume that a roll that was very high on the range would probably be pretty okay. It does have, like, you know, it does have a relatively decent perk set. And you can get really crazy range out of it because it rolls with Iron Reach. You know, I'm still, as I think, as long as the 140s take 3 crits to reach their optimal, I'm hard pressed to choose them over 120s because the TTK difference I don't think is enough to make up for the easy use that 120s have right now. Like I said, I've seen some good Palindrome usage. Ace of Spades is obviously in a class of its own. I don't know how you're more of a hand cannon player than I am. So how are you feeling about it?
I would say that it is probably not going to be competitive anytime soon. 120s with damage boosting perks are just always going to win. And while you can push the range up, it's hard to take advantage of the faster time to kill if you're doing something like Iron Reach, because then you're tanking your stability. And suddenly you have to pace your shots, and then you might as well be using a 120 because you're burning perks in order to get to a point that you could just be at with a different archetype. You know, the reason weapons like Ace of Spades stay competitive, even though they're not in that archetype, is because Ace of Spades is an exotic with phenomenal stats that literally do, like you said, put it in a class of its own.
Yeah, and I mean, when you really look at it too, like stat-wise, we'll go over the stats here. Like, it just the best legendary 140 right now is Palindrome. When you stack Palindrome up side by side with Finite Impactor, we're only talking base stats here, not perks you can get on it, but the base stats, it blows Finite Impactor out of the water. It has 13 higher range, 11 higher stability, 5 higher handling, 5 higher aim assist, same mag size, recoil direction is 1 off, 99 and 98, reload speed 2 higher. So Finite Impactor has 42 range, Palindrome has 55. Finite Impactor has 51 stability, Palindrome has 62, right? Like, those things alone right there, range and stability kind of combine to make 140s feel good. The best that, you know, 140s have felt, I think everybody remembers Awestringer, right, as being like a tremendously good feeling 140, like the best feeling 140 would ever had. Reason being, the base range out of the box was over 50. The base stability out of the box was over 60. That's kind of what I look for in 140s. Fatebringer has it from Vault of Glass. Palindrome has it. Finite Impactor does not. So Finite Impactor is one of the what I consider like a lower class of 140. So stat-wise, right off the bat, I'm not super, super thrilled with what I'm looking at.
Yeah, I would say what Finite Impactor really has going for it in that archetype is the ability to actually, if you're able to get the right perks, and it's going to be tough, but I think if you're able to get the right perks, you can have decent range and extremely high stability for this archetype, which should make the gun feel very, very easy to use. And so as far as a PvP role, I would personally be looking for Iron Grip If I'm not mistaken, this is the first time we've had Iron Grip available on a hand cannon. And I have to say, I think it's a trade-off that I am very interested in making. The reload speed on a hand cannon is always going to be fairly slow. And so generally, you know, the smart thing to do is just reload in cover. And if you're going to reload in cover anyways, what's another few frames, right? Especially if you can push your stability up over 80. Which you can do if you're also able to pull ricochet rounds. And just basically any sight that gives you a little bit of stability. You know, and then if you throw something on like under pressure, it's going to really help you when you're 1v1s. Given that your reload speed is low and maybe you're going to be low on rounds here and there, I think that could be super helpful. It's got a ton of other great perks. Well, not a ton. I say a ton. What I mean is like a couple of other great perks in that first trade slot. But let's go through it in an orderly fashion. I've jumped the gun. But I think the perks are what this weapon really has going for it that could make it stand out and maybe be worth adding to the collection for future use.
Yeah, so if we're looking at perks for the Finite Impactor, it does have some pretty good ones. For sights, I have really come around to loving True Sight, which is the one that gives a little bit of range, a little bit of handling, a little bit of stability. I'm just really a fan of that. I also like Hitmark, which basically just gives range. I'm no longer really a fan of Crossfire or Sure Shot, both of which give more range, but hurt handling and stability pretty significantly. And then, of course, you know, you've got Steady Hand, which just gives stability. I do like that as well, especially depending on what I get in mats.
It also gives a nice big handling buff, which is nothing to sneeze at on a hand cannon.
Yeah. And then Fast Draw gives a crazy high handling buff, less stability. I would take Steady Hand over Fast Draw. You know, it really, if you get any of those, I'm going to prioritize Steady Hand, True Sight, Hitmark as like, I'm probably going to prioritize True Sight and Steady Hand as my two favorites. Then I would take Hitmark or Fast Draw after that. And then I would try to avoid Crossfire and Sure Shot for the sights.
Yeah, I would firmly agree. If you get Steady Hand, in theory, like your functional stability would be well over 90 in certain situations. So,
yep. And then in the magazine slot, really there's only a couple choices. I mean, ricochet rounds is always going to be my number one. As long as it continues to get +9 to stability, I love ricochet rounds. If you don't get ricochet rounds, flared magwell is a good one.
Yep.
Gives a little bit of stability, decent buff to reload speed. If you don't get flared magwell, light mag is going to be my next choice. And then my fourth choice is going to be high caliber rounds. After that, armor piercing rounds still gives +5 to range at least. A pendant mag gives +2 to the magazine. Alloy mag and extended mag to me are pretty darn near useless. So,
yeah, I would agree. It's pretty rare, especially in PvP, that you're going to be emptying the mag and then reloading. That said, alloy mag is a pretty strong choice for PvE, where you are much more likely to empty the mag, and it does actually give you a pretty phenomenally fast reload, comparatively speaking. But in general, ricochet rounds is just going to make the weapon feel the best.
Mm-hmm. Geez, for the second perk slot, it's kind of hard. It's a bunch of perks that make the gun feel better. You got under pressure. I'm not the biggest fan of under pressure. Here's what I'll say. It has a very noticeable effect on this gun. The stability and accuracy increases are felt. I'm just such a habitual reloader in PvP that I feel like more often than not, it ends up being a wasted perk outside of when I am actively trying to use it on a primary. And then I end up getting myself in trouble more often than not because I'm purposely, like, you know, leaning into the lower edge of the magazine and then I run out of ammo and, like, yeah.
So the other perk that I like a lot, especially if we're going to chase Iron Grip in that final slot, is Slideways, which just pairs so well. So Slideways is the slide perk that gives you a partial reload and then boosts handling and stability. So it's going to put some ammo back in without you having to do anything. It's going to make the gun feel better. It does not give you any extra range, which is, you know, what it is. You pretty much, if you've picked up ricochet rounds, that's more or less the biggest range buff you're likely to get that's going to be worth getting, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard because, like, what are you trying to do with this 140, right? Like, are you trying to bring this into trials? Because then stuff like heating up, stuff like killing wind, like stuff like firmly planted, those things aren't going to help you a ton in trials, right? Because in trials, it's all about winning your ones. It's all about winning that first engagement so you can get the pick, as opposed to follow-on engagements, right?
Absolutely.
So in that case, slideways is pretty much your only option. You could maybe go with no distractions. We've talked about it before. The 1 second requirement to be ADS before it kicks in, to me, makes it like a non-starter. I know some people are more passively ADS with their primaries. For me, that's, you know, I'm bouncing in and out of ADS all the time. Like a quarter second, a half second, maybe 1 second is just too much for me. That's longer than most engagements last in Destiny. So
for my money, no distractions really is only worthwhile on longer range weapons in PvE, where flinch can be annoying and can throw off your aim, make you waste ammo. For PvP, I feel like if you're aiming down sights for a full second and you're not actually in a firefight, you need to like move because someone is probably coming up behind you.
Right.
Just flat out. So I feel like it's a trap for PvP, but I do think it has a valuable place in PvE, probably though not on this gun.
Yeah. So yeah, for trial, slideway is really your only option. For sixes, I like heating up a ton. I have heating up on the Survivor's Epitaph, which is the 180 hand cannon from the Crucible. It is extremely noticeable and very strong and lasts for a very long time. I think it's 7 or 8 seconds. I mean, I was timing it. Yeah. I wasn't using a stopwatch. I was counting it. But it lasted for almost 8 seconds when I was counting it.
Heating up is why I love my Grid Skipper. It just makes that gun feel so good.
Yeah. It's even so much so that, like, I've always really enjoyed Killing Wind. I think the bonus to range and mobility and handling is pretty huge. I would take Heating Up over Killing Wind. Like, Killing Wind is a better neutral perk where it improves you because it improves your handling and your mobility. But Heating Up is just so strong. It's like having Opening Shot active for 7 seconds, but it's better than that. Like, it's more than just the improved accuracy. You also get better stability, also get more vertical recoil. Vertical recoil doesn't help on a hand cannon because the recoil is already at 100, right? But to me, it is really, really super valuable, especially in sixes. In the last perk slot, I know you are a big fan of Iron Grip because of the positives to stability. I am really enjoying the pairing of Heating Up and Multi-Kill Clip.
For sure.
Multi-Kill Clip can pretty quickly drop or can bring the ease of use up with just a single stack of multi-kill clip. It's a 2 crits, 1 body for the optimal TTK, which is really, really helpful. If you have 2 stacks of multi-kill clip, it is 1 crit, 2 bodies, right? Which is really, really fantastic. So I like multi-kill clip a decent amount on this gun, but again, that's almost entirely a sixes choice, right? Because, you know, again, trials, winning your ones, something like Iron Grip is going to help you way more because it's going to help you in that first engagement right off the bat.
Yeah, so there's 2 perks in that final column that give you an effective in-game plus 18 to stability, which makes it really fairly easy to get your stability up to or over 80 on this gun, and that's Iron Grip and Elemental Capacitor. They both have drawbacks. So Elemental Capacitor, obviously, only going to give you that big stability buff on a Void subclass. Otherwise, you're looking at a massive handling buff, a massive reload buff, for this gun, a completely meaningless recoil direction buff. So that perk is, in my opinion, on this hand cannon, really only worthwhile if you're going to be maining Void subclasses in PvP. If you intend to main any other subclass in PvP, Iron Grip. Plus 18 stability. It does tank your reload, basically, probably almost to the floor for the gun. But like I said, you know, that's always a trade-off with playing hand cannons. They always take a long time to reload. I'm all for leaning into it, and if you happen to be able to pair it with Slideways, I think that's a fantastic combo for winning your 1v1s. Like you said, though, you know, in sixes, I think heating up multi-kill clip, super strong. Some other perks that you've got there. Eye of the Storm is often overlooked, but extremely powerful. Your handling and accuracy both get buffed significantly. Basically, once you've lost 25% of your HP, handling and accuracy get buffed, and that buff grows the lower your health gets. So if you are often getting shot and finding yourself getting flinched out in gunfights, this could be very helpful for you. Super strong perk. Iron Reach, plus 18 to range, minus 27 to stability for this weapon. I'm going to say that's a no-go. Like if that's what you want, then you should just be using a 120.
Because you should be using Ace of Spades.
Or really. Ace of Spades. You know, if that's... That would literally just make this, like, stat-wise into a 120, but with less damage. So... Not a fan of Iron Reach on this gun. And then One for All is a pretty decent damage buff. But unfortunately, on a hand cannon like this, you're spending basically a third of your magazine in order to trigger the bonus. And then you've only got 7 shots left to actually use it. I feel like that's just not worthwhile. Multi-kill clip is much stronger and more versatile and much easier to chain. So...
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's like what you said. I mean, I would do Eye of the Storm or Iron Grip if I was looking for a dueling hand cannon, and it wouldn't be anything other than that. Eye of the Storm it's like you said, it's overlooked. It really, the buff to accuracy is extraordinarily noticeable. You know, you could pair it with something like Heating Up, and, you know, it's so easy to activate Eye of the Storm in PvP with 120 hand cannons being meta because they do 90 for a headshot.
Yeah. Right?
So it's like, you know,
you get
you're
shot,
already,
it's,
yeah,
it's
you're,
massive.
It's already there. So it's not like it only happens once in a blue moon. It will happen every engagement. Heating Up or Eye of the Storm will activate.
Yeah.
Right. And then you pair Eye of the Storm with Heating Up, and yeah, it's going to be a magnet. So I like that a lot. I also do, like you said, like Iron Grip. I think you pretty much nailed it. I guess next up we'll talk about the shotgun. We're going to save the sniper for last because there's some interesting stuff that I'm kind of worried is going to throw off the breakdown of that gun. But I don't want to spoil anything for one of my buddies who's a content creator who believes he's discovered a secret with the sniper. So we're going to save that for last and just kind of briefly touch on it. But
I like the teaser, though.
Yeah. Reese Walker is the shotgun. It is a lightweight shotgun. It's a very, very beautiful weapon. I have seen probably the most polarized reviews of this gun on social media that I've ever seen. I've got some people who freaking love it and some people who hate it more than anything.
I think... In my opinion, as somebody who likes to play shotguns a lot, that this might be, with the right perks, possibly the best lightweight shotgun I have ever seen. It's going to be a little bit playstyle dependent, but I think with the right perks, you could main this baby. It's going to be even better if you are a Titan and you can slide 6.5 miles to shoot someone. Because then you really will be unstoppable.
Yeah. It's definitely... I think the people who don't like it are people who are very used to Felwinters. There's a specific thing that Felwinters allows you to do, which is map people at, you know, 9 meters. It's super consistent at ranges that no other shotgun can touch. This shotgun is a lightweight. It will not be consistent at 9 meters. I would be surprised if you can get kills outside of 7 meters with it, right? But what the lightweight does is it is a lightweight shotgun. You get the bonus mobility, you get the faster rate of fire, you get the faster handling speed.
There's a perk, though. We're going to talk about this later, but there's a perk that was recently buffed. I really need to get this shotgun with that perk because I want to know what the maximum kill distance is, because I think it might be better than other lightweights. Not by a lot.
Are you talking about hipfire?
Well, if you're going to spoil it, then yes, I'm talking about hipfire grip.
All right. Well, let's just hop right into the perks then. So barrel perks, it's very easy on shotguns.
We got to talk about the stats. We can talk about the stats. Okay. I'm not trying to jump the gun.
Do stats matter on shotguns? Do they really? Since they made it to where range doesn't mean shit for them anymore. Okay. Well, regardless, Reese Walker.
It still tightens the cone. Doesn't it? No, they adjust the cones now. That's right.
Yeah, it doesn't tighten the cone. All their cones are fixed. All it does is do damage fall off, which is why range means very little now, but
it does do. It was, yeah, I had it backwards in my head. Does do damage fall off.
We'll still talk about it. I mean, the closest comparison that you're probably going to have right now is the Seventh Seraph CQC, which I think is the lightweight shotgun that I see the most of in PvP. The Seventh Seraph has 49 range. The Reese Walker has 50. Not that stability matters, but the Seventh Seraph has 41. Reese Walker has 49. Seventh Seraph has 64 reload speed. Reese Walker has 66. Seventh has 72 handling. Reese Walker has 74. In terms of inventory size, Seventh is 27. Reese Walker's 25. That probably means nothing. It's close enough in inventory where it probably doesn't even give you a single extra bullet. And then aim assist, the Reese Walker is at 50. The Seventh Seraph is at 46. And does Reese Walker have... and it has 6 in the magazine. So, which is the same for pretty much all of the lightweights, at least the modern lightweights. Some of the older ones have more.
Yeah.
So basically, if you like Seventh Seraph, base shotgun package, you should like Reese Walker more, because Reese Walker is the same archetype, but with pretty much better stats across the board.
Yeah. Yep. And Reese Walker just has a beautiful perk set. So many good choices.
Yeah. For me, barrel perks on shotguns, there's only one option, and it's full choke, which tightens the spread, right?
It only tightens the spread when you aim down sights, though. And aiming down sights on shotguns no longer affects the range. So I'm actually, specifically for the purposes of hipfire grip, I'm actually a fan of rifled barrel just to push the damage fall off out like that 6 inches.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. Now, coming from me, don't use shotguns a ton. Not the person to talk to about shotguns. When I am using shotguns now, I'm still finding myself ADSing, going into engagements. Are you like not ADSing at all now? Are you pretty much just hip firing shotguns? Because I have still found, for some reason, I don't know if it's the aim assist or what, but I have still found it to be a lot more consistent for me when I ADS.
Well, I mean, it depends on which shotgun you're using, right? So if you are using a shotgun with full bore, it will be more consistent when you aim down sights, because it does tighten the spread. So if you're using Felwinters and you're using it with full bore.
Full choke, excuse me.
Then it will be more consistent when you aim down sights.
Well, that'll be why. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
It is, yeah.
Because I'm using full choke, then I'm always aiming down sights.
Yeah, so I'll vary my playstyle a little bit. Right now, I'm doing a lot of aiming down sights, but I saw this, and I'm probably going to switch to rifled and start focusing more on hip fire and see how that feels for a while. The nice thing about that is that it can really free up your ability to move in a way that allows you to be far more aggressive if you can lean into the hipfire play. And it's tempting not to do that on the high impact or the aggressive archetype shotguns, because their maximum kill distance is so long, and so you can sort of try to outrange other shotguns. And so our when we're trying to hit someone maximum range, our instinct as players of Destiny is to aim down sights. But what I've noticed is that most people who are playing with lightweights don't aim down sights. They kill you at, kissing distance. And I guess what I'm saying is, don't be afraid to consider leaning into that. This is a shotgun that is specifically designed for mobility. Like, it's literally the intrinsic trait is that you move faster. So I'm just saying, be open to that. I think that there a roll with full choke could also be great. There's a ton of perks to choose from on this shotgun, and a ton of different combinations that you could make that I think would be totally viable in PvP or PvE. I'm just saying, open your mind. That's all.
Yeah.
That's all.
For magazines, are you still going for range, or are you more of a fan of a assault mag?
So, I think for this one in particular, especially if I've got rifled barrel, I'm probably going to go with assault mag, just in case I need that second shot. That can also give you an edge over people who are using higher damage shotguns, because you can shoot them from a long ways away, do just a little bit of damage, and then shoot them again and either get the trade or maybe even throw them off with that first shot and then you get the kill and walk away from it. So being able to shoot just a little bit faster can help. That said, I'm not sad about accurized rounds. I mean, again, yeah. Every 6 inches of damage fall off is just a little bit more in your favor.
So for you in the perk slots, for perk one, there's really the one you're most interested in is hip fire grip.
Absolutely. That extra little buff to the aim assist fall off, to the precision angle threshold. Boy, I'm really intrigued to see what that looks like in play. That is just super tempting. That said, I mean, like, this gun's got quick draw in that same slot. It's got Eye of the Storm, which is also going to buff your accuracy. You know, in those close quarter situations, you are typically getting shot. It's pretty common. So Eye of the Storm is going to be up pretty frequently. You can even, if you get shot, you can swap to this shotgun, and Eye of the Storm will be effective immediately. So it's a great perk. I guess those are the two that really catch my eye. Slideways is fine, but it's not the one that buffs range, right?
So no, that's slide the hand shot. Stability one.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, eh.
I mean, to me, it would seem like if you were a slidey, slidey Titan boy, you would want firmly planted. Because with how long you can slide, that will be procced by the time, you know, you're nearing the tail end of that slide.
I think firmly planted may work for Titans. Yeah, if they slide from far enough away.
Yeah, and then probably Eye of the Storm for anyone else, because that also buffs accuracy, as we spoke about before. And you will most certainly be taking some form of damage. There's not really a ton of other good perks. Obviously, there's Quick Draw, which I know that some people love Quick Draw, but it's significantly less strong now than it was before. Surplus actually may be the better option at that point, depending on what type of class you're running. Obviously, for Hunters, we've talked about that, particularly my breed of Hunter. Less likely to have a bunch of full abilities. Secondary perk slot, though, man, a couple of good options. Iron Reach, you know, stability is something you don't really need on the shotguns. Iron Reach giving plus 18 to range. If you were to pair that with something like Rifle Barrel, you could have almost 80 range on this gun, and that's without anything in the mag slot.
That's exactly why I'm eyeing this, because I'm thinking, you know, that, and then, hey, maybe I get accurized rounds. I've got like 86 range, and then I've got hip fire grip, and I'm like, yeah, okay. Okay, this might be a little special. This might be just a little bit further out than any other lightweight shotgun that we've seen so far.
Yeah, that's really the only thing I would look at, besides Killing Wind and that second option, because Killing Wind giving you the plus 15 mobility on top of the plus 20 mobility that you already get from lightweight, you're going to be a quick moving person after you get kills with this. Plus, it also gives plus 20 to range, which is actually more than Iron Reach gives, but it is only after a kill.
Yeah. Right?
So it's like, you know, it's not going to be that first instance of a mapping, but I wouldn't be unhappy if I got either of those two perks in that last slot.
I would agree with that. And then just as far as the PvE side of things, if you're using this shotgun in PvE, Demolitionist and Swashbuckler, both great options. You know, it is a kinetic, so you can't like melee a red bar and then go just like shred a shielded enemy with Swashbuckler, but you can still take down majors. That 30% damage buff is still pretty nice. You know, you pair that up with assault mag so you can shoot a little bit faster. You can dump a good chunk of the magazine into a major or a champion before that buff drops. So I think that's a pretty strong option for PvE.
Yeah, I think that's enough of that. Up next is Archon's Thunder. Archon's Thunder is a machine gun. It is the high-impact machine gun. Man, it seems like they have really been enjoying giving us high-impact machine guns. We got the Swarm. With the Seven Seraph Saw was one of them. The Bane of Sorrow from the Crown of Sorrow raid. Recently, you know, what I'm wanting to see is some adaptives, but I guess we have to wait until Vault of Glass to get an adaptive, right? If we're looking at stats, you know, it's like all high impacts, right? It's got range out the wazoo and terrible stability, terrible reload speed, terrible aim assist. So it's got 68 range. The high impacts usually range between 66 and 72. So it's kind of, you know, right in the middle there. It's got 25 stability, which is actually bad, even for a high impact. You know, the Swarm is the best of the bunch at 40. And then the next lowest would be the Bane of Sorrow at 29. The reload speed is bad across all of them. They range between 37 and 43. This one's at 40, so it's right in the center. Handling is 40, again, right in the center. They go between 35 and 45. Aim assist is 27, which is quite awful. Like, really surprisingly low, even for these. The Swarm has 39. The next lowest one is 30, which is the Bane of Sorrow one. Recoil direction is pretty good at 76. Inventory is 41. Mag size is 44. I am not particularly enamored with this gun right off the bat. I'm not really a fan of the high impact machine guns. I'm really only a fan of the adaptive machine guns. That's what it comes down to. Like, I've gotten some good rolls on high impacts and some good rolls on rapid fires where I felt like they were usable, but just none of them have felt as good as the adaptives had. So, you know, I'm looking at this and I'm kind of like, okay, well, I can do the weird thing in Gambit where I max the range out and I basically use it like a super lethal scout rifle, you know, but there's nothing about machine guns right now. And they even mentioned this in a TWAB a little while back, but like, there's nothing about machine guns right now that makes me want to use them.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair. I've been using them because I keep getting bounties that require them. They're just sort of making me do a lot of machine gun play. And so, you know, I'm doing it. I'm clearing ads with them, which is really what they're best at right now. I don't mind the high impacts too much in PvE. In PvP, I think they feel chunky. Just the way that the shots just feel like, I don't know, like I'm like throwing the bullets at the person as hard as I can. Like, I feel like I'm putting my body into it somehow. I don't know how to describe it. They just feel chunky. And I can get kills with them, right? They still work, but they don't feel as easy to use as, I mean, let's face it, we're talking about Hammerhead is the gun that we're really comparing them to. And they just don't feel as good as Hammerhead feels.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's hard for me to get excited about a high impact machine gun. It really is. You know, I'm looking at it and I'm like, well, for barrels, like I know people are like, oh, they shoot so slow, you don't need stability. Like, I don't know about you guys. I still feel like I need stability on these things. Like, I feel like the only time maxing out range helps is literally Gambit as an invader or killing invaders. And I don't play Gambit enough to where I'm ever like, I want to do that to this gun. What my experience is that these things are unwieldy in PvP. And a lot of that stems from the lack of stability that they have.
Yeah, I would agree.
I'm going to go chambered compensator. I'm going to buff that recoil direction by 10, get it up to 86, get a little bit of stability out of it. For PvP, like, I guess steady rounds is probably the best option, right? I know that there is a way that you can get like 7 more bullets off of a heavy brick, but I think you have to get your mag size over, I think you have to get it like over 60 something. And I don't actually think you can do that with this gun, like even with extended mag. Maybe if you had extended mag and backup mag, you could do it. Yeah, I think you could do it then. So I guess if you run like extended mag and backup mag, or upended mag and backup mag, you might be able to get like 7 extra shots off a heavy brick. I think it gives you 29 instead of giving you 22. So in PvP, that's probably the way to do it, because I mean, that's another potentially 2 kills, or that's another kill and a half in PvP. So I feel like you almost don't really have a choice. Like, I feel like you've got to do that in PvP, because that's the only way it's going to be useful.
Well, the great thing about Archon's Thunder is that it does have an okay perk selection. It has Rangefinder in that first perk slot. And I think for PvP, I think that is the go-to. It's going to give you extra distance, and it's going to give you less recoil. If you get that, you don't really have to think about like trying to lean into the high range thing, because you've already got high range. Now you just need a little more zoom.
And there's shit all for other options in that slot. Like, I mean, Killing Wind, okay, yes, like that's one thing. Quick Draw, not going to matter. Surplus, not going to matter.
I always think about being super mobile when I'm using a machine gun, though. Don't you? You don't?
Yeah.
No, okay.
So, I mean, for PvP, yeah, Rangefinder is the only option. For PvE, I think Field Prep is probably by far your best option for PvE.
Firmly
that's
going
to allow you to super fast reload when you are when you're crouched, and also it will give you more reserves. And the secondary slot, I mean, really to me, I mean, I guess you could do Rampage. I'm kind of almost at this point just being like, let's just go all in on the shit reload speed with extended mag and iron grip.
I think
and
so.
Like,
I think
how slow can I make this reload? Can I have like a 5-second long reload with this gun?
That's honestly the role that I want is iron grip. Just because I'm like, maybe it'll feel good. Now you can get that stability up over 50. Like, this gun might actually feel okay at that point.
Yeah, and the problem with Rampage on this gun is that all it does is it just makes it a 3-crit, 1-body optimal instead of a 4-crit optimal. So even Rampage is just like, meh.
The problem with Rampage on this gun in PvP is that you don't have enough bullets for it to really be worthwhile. Like, what's it going to do? Maybe give you 1 extra kill if your enemies are feeding you?
Yeah. Now, you could also maybe consider Iron Gaze, because it's like, it's not like you nerfing the range is really going to hurt the range that much, even though it does take the range down by, I think, 27. So
It actually does.
It is a substantial nerf. But if you have Rangefinder, it's like, okay, whatever. Like, I've got Rangefinder. So I just think it'd be funny because, like, even
with
even with plus 20 aim assist, it only has 47 aim assist, which is less aim assist than every adaptive and every rapid fire in the game has. So it's like, even with that much aim assist, and it actually brings the range down to under where every adaptive was. So you see what I'm kind of getting at here, where it's like, please just let me have another adaptive. Like, just give me an adaptive machine gun. That's all I really want. And thankfully, Vault of Glass is coming out and does have one.
That all said, though, I do think this gun could be okay if you want to use a machine gun, or if you have to use a machine gun for bounty or quest purposes, for cleaning up adds, because you can get Thresh on it, and extra super just always feels good. I think if you get Field Prep, Thresh, maybe a pended mag, throw a backup mag on there, you can get the magazine up to like 66. That's a lot of extra super energy. And you've got extra inventory too, so you are really, you're rolling in that. In the right situation, maybe in a strike with extra heavy ammo bricks dropping for you, you could be sitting pretty on this gun. So, is it the best? I mean, I'd be really hard-pressed to say that. There are so many good choices for the heavy slot. I just don't know that this is an optimal one. But it's there. It's solar. At some point, it's going to fit.
Yeah. So, occluded finality, I kind of don't really want to talk about this episode because Cool Guy believes he's found something in this gun, which, you know, I don't want to spoil it. I don't know when he's, I think he's releasing a video on Friday, which is the 21st of May. I don't want to spoil his video if we do end up releasing this before, because it is entirely his credit. Like, he found it and sent me some stuff on Twitter. It's like, what do you think of this? So I kind of don't want to talk about occluded finality right now because he was going to do some more experimentation. And if he finds out what he thinks is true about this gun, it's going to entirely change the way that the gun is played. Like, to the point of it's possible that the gun is actually broken. So, you know, that being said, it's a sniper rifle, right?
Like, yeah.
It's a high impact sniper rifle, an aggressive sniper rifle. You want handling, if we treat it like a normal sniper rifle and not like what he thinks it is, you want handling, so arrowhead break or fluted barrel, or corkscrew rifling in the first slot, ricochet rounds, or, you know, like flared magwell or something in the second slot, potentially appended mag if you're doing, I guess appended mag if you're doing PVE stuff with it. Although, I don't know a ton of people who are using snipers, like legendary snipers right now in PvE, or really snipers at all right now in PvE, don't seem to be super, super big. Maybe they are in Nightfalls. That would be one spot where we have a blind spot, so maybe we don't know about that. And then in PvP, I mean, nobody is going to say no to Snapshot. Like, Snapshot still is the king of those slots. I actually really think Under Pressure is kind of underrated. Because you start with, you know, only two shots. So Under Pressure should be activated on that last shot in the magazine, and the increased accuracy is pretty noticeable. And then you've also got just this ridiculous, you got opening shot, right? You can get snapshot yeah. opening shot, but.
Well, and I guess I don't specifically recall. I'm sure Under Pressure has rolled on a sniper rifle before. But now that they've fixed Under Pressure so that it's actually active and it's actually working,
well,
I have to admit that I'm a little more interested in considering that. The problem is that
you have a three-round magazine.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So it's not active on that first shot. It's only active on the second shot.
50%.
Yeah, and from what people have been saying when they were testing it with fusion rifles, it doesn't matter if you increase the mag size. It only is based off the standard, like the base mag size.
You know what? Oh, so it would ignore backup mag? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Savage.
Yeah.
Well, fair enough. Sorry, Under Pressure.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, snapshots is in that. In. I mean, but what about no distractions? Yeah. Yeah.
So, snapshot, opening shot is going to be my role of choice. You could also justify, you know, iron reach if you, for some reason, want to hit like 100 range on this gun. Iron Reach will do that for you. If what Cool Guy thinks comes to pass, then maybe that will be something we'll have to revisit. He's got two
Eye
theories.
Of the Storm as well. Yeah. So
he's got two theories about what could potentially be causing the gun to behave the way it does. So again, you know, it's a sniper rifle. If he is incorrect and it was just a fluke or something, then this gun is not great because the zoom is 58, which is the highest zoom that they've put in the game in a very long time. The suspicion is that they did that because they buffed aim assist on high zoom snipers, but we haven't had a high zoom sniper for a while. So now they're giving us a high zoom sniper so we can feel the effects of the buffed aim assist. And, you know, everybody's like, oh, 58 zoom, that's too much. Like, the first sniper I ever used in D1 was the Taxus, which was like a 6.5 times zoom. And honestly, the sniper in Halo, the first zoom was 6 times. Like, it's actually not that much.
I remember how much you loved those Taxus scopes. Man, you would go on about those.
It's because it felt like the Halo sniper scope. That's why yeah. I loved it so much. It was the easiest transition for me as a Halo player was the Taxus sniper scope. So, you know, people have gotten very, very used to the super wide field of view provided by the, you know, the 4.5 times scopes, but anything up to six, like, really isn't honestly that bad. Like, you can deal with it.
Yeah.
You know, are you going to be quick scoping people and drag scoping? I don't know. Probably not, right? But it's not that bad once you actually give it a shot. Like, you'll be okay, especially if the aim assist buff is as big as people are potentially saying it is. So
I did drag scope somebody with this gun while they were in midair.
There you go.
Just one person. It's not like I'm not a fantastic sniper.
You're an MLG pro now.
Dang it, I needed some sniper kills.
Ooh. All right, guys. Well, those are the Iron Banner weapons.
Yeah.
We will maybe potentially revisit Occluded Finality next week if Cool Guy's video does numbers and his testing is conclusive. And the gun either is or is not broken, then we'll revisit it next week. But for now, I think that's all we got.
All right. Exciting. We get to leave you on a cliffhanger. What's going to happen? No one knows.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Peace.